Open your Bibles with me to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 4. You're going to have to really pay attention to the message today. We're going to cover material that hasn't been covered with any popularity for at least 100 years. So much truth has been ignored over the last century and going into this new century. And so people will hear some of the messages that we preach, and it'll sound, well, I've never heard that before. Well, that's not my fault. If you go back and read the messages of the great Bible teachers and preachers and scholars in the 19th century, the 18th century, and previous, all of this truth was readily spoken and delivered. But with the advent of the 20th century and Christian Zionism, all of that truth went by the wayside. And now modern Bible commentators will not dare touch these great truths, and they are ignored by the vast majority of pastors and ministers, Bible commentators, radio preachers, TV evangelists, etc. And so people don't know them. And that's why when you hear Chuck Baldwin say it, it sounds like it's new. No, it's not new. What I'm giving you is historic Christian truth. What's new is the Christian Zionism doctrine of the 20th century. That's what's new. And it's not historic, and it's not biblical. Anyway, James chapter 4. Listen very carefully. Hopefully this message won't be too long, but I am going to go kind of slow because I want you to try and grasp the content. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? I only read from the King James text. If you've got other translations, you've got other kinds of weird things going on. All right, so no telling what you're reading. So get you a King James Bible and you read the truth. All right. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Verse 2, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Your prayers are selfish, self-centered, and unscriptural. That's why God doesn't answer them. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do I need to quote that again? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Verse 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Remember, James is addressing this book to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. This is a book that is written to the Hebrew Christians in the Mediterranean, much like the book of Hebrews itself. This book also is written to Hebrew Christians. That's important to understand as you read the book of James. So he's talking to Hebrews who were raised in Old Testament, Old Covenant, Jewish religion. The Old Covenant Jewish religion that was obliterated at 70 AD with the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, etc. This is written to these Hebrew Christians in a similar fashion as the book of Hebrews written by Paul to try and help the Hebrew Christians understand the new covenant and the abolishment of the old covenant. Very difficult for those first century Hebrews to understand that the old covenant was dead and that the new covenant had come. And so it took a lot of teaching and training for them to understand that, as it takes all of us a lot of teaching and training to understand that when we have believed something that was in error for so long, to unlearn it and learn truth. Very, very difficult. It's a whole lot harder to unlearn error than it is to learn truth. Learning truth is not near as difficult as unlearning error, which must come first. Now, I want to read you the commentary of Albert Barnes, one of the old scholars that I like to refer to, on his comments, "From whence come wars and fighting among you?" Okay, very first statement of verse 1. "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" Quoting Albert Barnes. Margin, brawlings, the word fightings, brawlings. The reference, you got to listen carefully to get this. The reference is to strifes and contentions of all kinds. And the question then, as it is now, was an important one. What was their source or origin? The fightings, the wars, the brawlings, the strife. What was their source or origin? The answer is given in the succeeding part of the verse. Some have supposed that the apostle refers here to the contests and the seditions existing among the Jews, which afterwards broke out in rebellion against the Roman authority and which led to the overthrow of the Jewish nation. But the more probable reference is to domestic broils and to the strifes of sects and parties of the Jews, to the disputes which were carried on among the Jewish people, and which perhaps led to scenes of violence and to popular outbreaks among themselves. In other words, the constant fightings, strife, war, and brawlings that would erupt between the Jewish people is what James is referencing. Remember, again, he's addressing Hebrew Christians. When the apostle says, "among you," in our text, it is not necessary to suppose that he refers to those who were members of the Christian church as actually engaged in these strifes, though he was writing to such. He's not accusing the church, the Christians in the church, of fighting each other in the church. But he speaks of them as a part of the Jewish people and refers to the contentions which prevailed among them as a people. So he is referring to the constant warfare and bloodshed that would erupt between the Jewish people, of whom the Hebrew Christians lived among. Contentions in which those who were Christian converts were in great danger of participating by being drawn into their controversies and partaking of the spirit of strife which existed among their countrymen. In other words, if the Christians weren't careful, they would be caught up in the wars of the Jews. He was admonishing them to beware of this temptation and to separate themselves from it. Last paragraph, Albert Barnes. It is known that such a spirit of contention prevailed among the Jews at that time in an imminent degree, and it was well to put those among them who professed to be Christians on their guard against such a spirit by stating the causes of all wars and contentions. The solution which the apostle has given of the causes of the strifes prevailing then will apply substantially to all the wars which have ever existed on the earth. Close quote. Did I read that slowly enough for you to comprehend what Albert Barnes was saying? The Israelites and the Judahites have been a warring people from the beginning of their existence. You cannot read the history of the Israelites or the Judahites without seeing this unless you are totally, willfully blind to that reality. They warred against Moses, even after he was the man whom God used to deliver them from their bondage in Egypt. You would think that they would have loved Moses forever because of what Moses had done for them in delivering them from the cruel bondage of the Egyptians. Yet you read the Old Testament account of the Exodus, and you will find that the people of Israel rose up against Moses again and again and again and again. They were never content. They were constantly at conflict with Moses and Aaron, and at some points even to the point of saying, "We wish we were back in Egypt." Can you imagine people saying to Moses, "We despise you so much. We wish we were back in Egyptian bondage. We'd rather be there than under your leadership." And they did this over and over and over again. Read the Bible for yourself. They warred against themselves while they were in the wilderness. Conflicts, wars, fights broke out between the Israelites during the entire period of the wilderness journeyings. After God gave them victory, I'm going through this very quickly. We could make a series of messages out of this. But after God gave them victory in just wars over their enemies, with God's blessing, they continued to fight unjust wars without God's blessing. They have been a warring people from their very existence. Even King David was once caught up in the spirit of unjust war, which brought God's severe judgment upon the nation of Israel. I have a package of six messages. It's called Aggression, Revolution, Anarchy, and Gun Control. And the very first message in this series, the crime of aggression, condemned by the law of nature and nature's God. And that message is based on the life of King David, who plotted and planned a war of aggression outside God's will, an unjust war that God had not blessed. God was so angry with David for planning this unjust war that he gave David a series of options as to punishment, and that wound up as God killed, if I remember correctly, 70,000 Israelites because of David's sin of planning an unjust war. He didn't even carry it out. He was just planning it. But this was David. And God would not allow David to corrupt himself with this unjust war, and he judged the entire nation of Israel because of the heart of David planning to fight an unjust war. That is how much God hates unjust war. Think of the wars in which America has been engaged from World War I to the present. I remember like it was yesterday. My Bible professor at Liberty University telling us preacher boys this, and this is a quote. I remember it word for word. He said it more than once, and I've never forgotten it. At the time, as a college student, a young man just preparing for the ministry, I didn't understand it. I understand now. At the time, I did not. But I remember the quote. Listen to this. World War I prepared the land, Palestine, for the people, the Zionists. And World War II prepared the people, the Zionists, for the land. Let me say that again. This is what the Bible professor said. This was a Christian Zionist Bible college. the vast majority of Bible colleges are Christian Zionist, all of them, most of them. World War I prepared the land for the people, the Jewish Zionists. World War II prepared the people, the Jewish Zionists, for the land. He said that as a positive. This was not a criticism or a historical repentance type of statement. It was said in the context that this was God's will. This was good. Because World War I prepared the land for the people, and World War II prepared the people for the land. So this is a good thing. How many tens of millions of innocent people were slaughtered in those two great wars? So this Christian Zionist Bible professor is taking the position that both of those world wars were for the Zionists in Palestine. I didn't say that. That's what he said. That's what he told me as a preacher boy sitting in the class. The two most bloody wars in human history were all about the Jews in Palestine. Really? That's what they believe. That's what most of these Christian Zionists believe. War is nothing to them. The killing of tens of millions of innocent people is nothing to them if it accomplishes something good for the Jews in Palestine. It doesn't matter how many people die. It doesn't matter what happens to the world as a whole. As long as it is helpful to the Jews in Palestine, it's a good thing. Does anybody not see the perversity of that ideology? The warring spirit of the Jewish Zionists Yeah, you say that. The warring spirit of the Jewish Zionists created the Bolshevik communism in Russia and Nazi fascism in Germany. Both of those monstrosities were created by Jewish Zionists. That is historically factual. If you will do your due diligence and study it, you will see that I'm telling you the truth. Both fascism and communism are controlled by the central banks, which are mostly controlled by Jewish Zionists. Who controls the Federal Reserve? Who controls the Western central banks? The Jewish Zionists by and large. Have you ever heard the saying, all wars are bankers' wars? That is a fact. The Zionist state of Israel was established through the ethnic genocide of the Palestinian people. And I don't have a copy of the book to show you right now because we're sold out. But the ethnic cleansing of Palestine by Ilan Pappe is the quintessential book of history relative to what I'm talking about right now. If you have never read The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine by Ilan Pappe, this is a renowned Israeli historian who wrote the truth about how Israel became a state off of the blood, the murder, the pillage, the plunder, the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. You don't have a clue as to how Israel became a state and what it's all about. It has been a war-mongering, plundering, murderous people and nation from the beginning, continuing the warring tradition that it's had for centuries. Evangelical Christians, I've heard this for the last 2 weeks, it's coming out of my ears like spaghetti. I can't take it anymore. Evangelical Christians say the Ashkenazi Jews have an ancestral home in the land of Palestine. To be very, very spiritual in my communication to you today, that is a bunch of malarkey. The Zionist Jews in Palestine did not come from Palestine. They came from Europe. To be specific, from the land of the Khazars, hence the name Ashkenazi Jews. Their own media recognizes them as Ashkenazi Jews, meaning European Jews. They don't have an ounce of Jewish bloodline in them. They don't have an ounce of the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in them whatsoever. I encourage you to watch Prophecy Message number 3. It's included in the first package, but it's an individual DVD, so you can purchase it by itself. God's chosen people, the children of promise, Israel of God, in Romans chapter 11. And I go into depth to discuss the subject of God's chosen people and what that means. And who are the people in the Middle East today? And where were the chosen people in the first century? And who were they? And who's the remnant? And all of that. I go into that in depth. If you remember back to Prophecy Message 3, this was about 150 hours of study put into this one message. And it is in depth. And so if you want to watch the truth about this from a theological point of view, I urge you to get this message from Romans chapter 11. It is the Palestinian people who have an ancestral home in Palestine that dates back more than 1,000 years. Amen. Many of these Palestinians who are being murdered and killed and tortured and imprisoned and taken off of their land by the settlers. They are not settlers. They are terrorists. Anybody who comes to your home with a gun and kills you and your family to steal your property is a terrorist. Many of those Palestinian families have owned that land for 1,000 years. They can trace the genealogy and the family tree of that property for hundreds, if not 1,000 years. These Ashkenazi Jews cannot trace their ancestry to Palestine for 1 minute. They are interlopers from Europe masquerading as God's chosen people. Interestingly enough, God's chosen people who the vast majority are atheists. God's chosen people are not any race, but are all people of all races who come to faith in Jesus Christ. All one in Christ, regardless of race. The only future land promise given to the church under the new covenant is the new Jerusalem. Watch my message from last Sunday. Is the Hamas-Israeli war fulfilling Bible prophecy? I talk about the city of Jerusalem. Excuse me, Elia Capitolina, as it was originally named by Emperor Hadrian, who built what we now call Jerusalem. And the walls around the old city built by the Ottoman Empire. There's nothing about the city of Jerusalem that even resembles the old city of Jerusalem of the Bible. It is all a fraud. Think of the wars, destruction, bloodshed, and death that has taken place over the last 125 years, all due to the wars of the Jews. Verse 2 in our text. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill. Remember, Hebrew Christians. Ye kill. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. When you see the beastly system, remember many antichrists, the beast is a system. When the beastly system coalesces, the media, the government officials, and even Christians bowing down, all speaking the same mantra, all preaching the same thing. When you've got evangelical pastors who are lining up in perfect agreement with the Antichrist news media of ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and all the rest. Something is wrong with the evangelical pulpit. Amen. When the evangelical preachers are lining up with the Antichrist Joe Biden and all the antichrists around him, and yet they're all preaching the same thing. They're all saying the same thing. They're all on the same page. It means that the pulpits of our churches have sold out to the beastly system. They may or may not know it, but that's exactly what they've done. recent examples that illustrate what I'm saying, the COVID fraud. You and I both know that was a fraud from day number one. You and I both know that that was an attempt to enslave the people of the United States and to expunge our Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights and to put us under subjection of their new world order. That's exactly what they were trying to do. And for 3 years, they did it. For 3 years, we were no longer the United States of America. For 3 years, we were enslaved by a medical tyranny in this country. So who went along with it? All the media, all the government, all the health departments, and the medical industry, all the pharmaceutical corporations, the businesses in general, the corporations went along with it. And the vast majority of pastors in America locked step in line with that same narrative. What does that tell you? That tells you the beastly system had captured the hearts and the minds of all of them. Amen. Preachers are supposed to be the ones who resist the devil. Amen. Franklin Graham actually had a program by where he had doctors or nurses or medical personnel, and he set up his own clinics, and I think he even had traveling clinics. I'm not sure about that, but he had clinics where that his Samaritan Purse ministry would go around and give the vaccine shots, the COVID shots, to anybody that would take them. And of course, he said he was doing it out of compassion. Yeah, he was also getting paid for every single shot that he administered from the federal government. Now we know the truth about it. But to point it, it's an illustration. The Ukraine war, another illustration. The media gets behind it. The businesses get behind it. The government officials get behind it. The pastors get behind it. Everybody's on the same page. Once again, the Antichrist media and the Antichrist politicians are in perfect agreement with the evangelical pastors in America saying the same thing. Yes, fight the war in Ukraine, like the prophets of the Old Testament said to the kings. Yeah, go up. Fight the war. God is with you. God isn't with unjust war. I'm sorry. It's not God's will. It's an unjust war, and now we got Israel. Oh, boy. You know, who's going to question? If it's Israel, it's God's will. And so they're all lining up again. I'm just showing you how this beastly system has taken over the mouthpieces, the spokesmen of the country, regardless of whether it's secular, political, economic, religious, it doesn't matter. They're all saying the same thing. You would think that a pastor would once in a while maybe ask himself as he's watching NBC or MSNBC or and he's hearing the Antichrist commentator, newscaster, repeating the sermon that he just preached last Sunday. You would think that he would say to himself, "Ooh, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture?" But no. He thinks, "Oh, wow, look at that. Even that ungodly reporter, it sees the truth." the blindness that is hovering over this country today is so thick you can cut it with a knife. Listen to Barnes again. It is known that such a spirit of contention prevailed among the Jews at that time in an eminent degree. And it was well to put those among them who professed to be Christians on their guard against such a spirit. Against what spirit? The spirit of war. To be on guard against the spirit of war. In the last week, I've heard Christians say that America should obliterate Damascus, Syria. I've heard Christians say America should nuke Iran out of existence. I've heard Christians say that the Palestinian people should be completely annihilated. Christians, pastors, do they not realize that there are tens of thousands of our Christian brothers and sisters in all of those countries?
Amen.
The Palestinians have a large percentage of Christians among them. The hospital that Israel bombed was a Baptist Christian hospital. Today in church, they're all singing about the love of Jesus. And the pastors tell them to love their brothers. What about your Palestinian brothers and sisters? Did you know that in the Arab world, among the Muslim nations, Christianity is growing faster than almost any region anywhere in the world? Muslim people are coming to Christ by the thousands and thousands. With no help from the evangelical churches of America, I might add. Not only do they get no help in evangelizing these precious people, and I've told you before, I've been to Palestine, I've been to Israel, I've been throughout the entire Middle East. I preached in two churches, one in Bethlehem and one in Jerusalem. 95% plus of the people that attended those services, they were not Israelis, they were Palestinians. I met them face to face by the hundreds. And I got to tell you something. The Palestinian Christians that I met in Palestine when I was there were among the sweetest, kindest, most humble, loving Christian people I have ever met in my life. And the pastors of America just wipe them out. Kill them all. Guard against such spirit by stating the causes and wars and contentions, the solution which the apostle has given of the causes of the strifes prevailing then will apply substantially to all the wars that have ever existed on the earth. He said this before World War I. And World War II, and the century of war known as the 20th century. Evangelical Christians have adopted Zionist Israel as their very own. To them, Israel belongs to them. They've adopted Israel. By doing so, they have become friends to the worldly, beastly system that engenders constant malice, strife, and war. They become a friend with the world. Because Zionist Israel is the beastly, worldly system in its epitome. Verse 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Again, speaking to the Hebrew believers of the first century. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. For the warlike spirit of your heart. You need to turn from that to the Lord. Repent of your pride. Humble yourself before God. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift you up. James told these Hebrew Christians, resist pride. Humble themselves unto God. Resist the devil in whatever form he presents himself. And this is where spiritual discernment comes into play. Because a lot of evangelicals are not able to identify the devil when he appears. You have to be able to recognize him. See through his masquerade. He appears as an angel of light. But you have to see through the mask at who you're really dealing with. In order to resist him, you have to be able to identify him. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands from sin, especially the sin of war. Purify your hearts, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. So twice he tells them to humble themselves before God. My dear brothers and sisters, America's unjust wars have brought judgment upon our country. Don't talk about God is going to judge America. God is judging America as I speak. The judgment has already begun. If you can't see that, you are spiritually blind. The judgment is here. America's unjust wars have brought God's judgment upon our country. The war against our unborn babies. God will not tolerate that forever. The war against our working families and our economy. Trying to crush the middle class of the United States so that they might become serfs for the rich and powerful. The war against the natural laws of morality, decency, honesty, and justice. Those of us that have lived a little while could have never imagined a few years ago that this country would be accepting the perversion that is not only accepting but promoting, endorsing, and trying to force the country to accept. Gross. Utter. the kind of behavior that just a few years ago, the most debauched person you'd find at the bar would not even dare to discuss. And now it's taught in the public schools of America. Amen. Without shame. Infecting and poisoning the minds of the innocent little ones of our country. What kind of a future are they going to have in their minds and their hearts being corrupted with the vile, licentious, unspeakably unholy things that are being put into their hearts and minds 5 days a week in the public school system of this country? And then add to that the media and the entertainment industry and all these performers on television and the movie industry filling their minds with filth. And our social media reflects the filthiness and the dirtiness of the average American citizen, many of whom sit in our churches. Go to the social media pages of so-called Christian people and read the words they write, the blasphemous words, the cuss words, the unholy, profane things they say on social media, all the while claiming to be a Christian. And this is average. This is not unusual. The war against our natural laws of morality, decency, honesty, and justice. The war against innocent people all over the world. The unjust wars in Ukraine and now Palestine. By the way, both of which those wars could break out of control on any day. The war against our freedoms to defend ourselves and to determine our own health care. The war against God and the Bible in our public institutions, our schools, and our entertainment industries. I said America's unjust wars have brought God's judgment upon our country, including all of the above. At any moment, the warmongers in New York City and Washington, D.C. could find that the wars they started in other countries could come to our own front door. Amen. Any given day. At any given moment, God could decide to destroy foe Israel, as he destroyed genuine Israel so long ago. At any given moment, God could decide to do that. If either of those scenarios happened, how would evangelicals react? Number one, they would wake up to the reality that no rapture is going to save them from tribulation. Number two, they would wake up to the reality that everything they have been taught about Zionist Israel and the second coming of Christ was a lie. Amen. And if God chooses to wake up the church by those extreme measures, it's his pleasure to do so. Christian Zionists are so attached to Israel that their very faith depends on Israel. Without Israel, they have no faith at all. Think about it. Take Israel out of their Christian belief system, and what is left? Everything in their belief system at one point comes back to Israel. It all points to Israel. It all revolves around Israel. Take out Israel, they're lost. There's no direction. They don't even know what to believe about the second coming without Israel. Think about it. The omnipotent, all-powerful Son of God who rose from the dead under his own power. Conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. Is dependent on Benjamin Netanyahu and his Zionist in Israel to usher him back to earth. He's got to wait for Benjamin Netanyahu to get it all worked out. How many preachers have you heard talk? That's the purpose of Israel, is to make a pathway for Christ to return. Be the avenue of the return of Christ, preparing the return of Christ. Really? Jesus is dependent on a bunch of atheist, Ashkenazi, European, Zionist for permission to come back to this earth? I don't think so. There's a word for that, my brothers and sisters, and that word is idolatry. Amen. I close with a couple comments from Adam Clark, another great old scholar I love to quote. These are all 18th and 19th century writers. He talks the friendship of the world, and he says, the world was their God. Here they committed their spiritual adultery, and they cultivated this friendship in order that they might gain this end. And then, whosoever will be a friend of the world, Adam Clark writes, how strange it is that people professing Christianity can suppose that with a worldly spirit, worldly companions, and their lives governed by worldly maxims, they can be in the favor of God or ever get to the kingdom of heaven. When the world gets into the church becomes a painted sepulcher, grave, its spiritual vitality being extinct. Strange that people professing Christianity can suppose that with a worldly spirit, the spirit of war is a worldly, beastly spirit. Eat worldly companions. These preachers are taking the counsel, hobnobbing with Satanist politicians in Washington, D.C. And their lives governed by worldly maxims. Wear the masks or you're going to die. Or worse, you're going to kill somebody else. Take the shot! And the pulpits repeat the worldly maxims. How can they have the favor of God? Adam Clark writes. Or ever get to the kingdom of heaven? When the world gets into the church becomes a painted sepulcher, its spiritual vitality being extinct. Once again, America, with evangelical Christians cheering the loudest, once again, America is ingratiating itself with the wars of the Jews. Let's stand for prayer.